Want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning and welcome everyone to this part of the service. I was really blessed already this morning by everything that was shared, the Sunday school devotional, the songs that we sang beforehand. That one song, I don't know if I ever helped sing that song, that number 178. And there's a phrase in there that was really interesting. It says that we are a miracle of grace. And that really stood out to me because when grace is something that is assumed that we're going to get, it's no longer grace. It's just presumptuousness. Grace is undeserved favor. And sometimes we're more guilty of presumption than we are of grace. So anyhow, then the youngsters had this Bible verse up here that says that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And in a nutshell, that's the essence of belief. That's really, really important. Chad shared with us that beautiful story of Jesus coming to raise Lazarus from the dead. And the one thing that really stands out there is he says he's glad that he wasn't there because he did it for their sakes that they might believe. Well, they already believed, didn't they? That they were following him, certainly they believed on him. But what did he mean? I believe he meant that he was going to deepen their faith. And that's the purpose that we're here this morning. Not because we don't already believe, for many of us at least. We already believe, but we're here to deepen our faith and to walk with God, to see what that believing is about. Believing is a word that is many times lightened, made shallow by our language, but it is very, very deep meaning. It's going to change your life. You believe something, it's going to have an eternal effect on you affect the way that we act and do. This morning I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 5 for a devotional reading. My wife and I have been privileged to be in three different school programs the last week. And we were at Fairland for theirs last Saturday, and then Wednesday we went to Kirksville, to Shekinah, and yesterday was ours here. And so I have a few comments to make. They were all very good. There was a lot of good content in each one of them, and a lot of good lessons. And the things that the students learn in the programs are things that actually should stick with them and probably will have a more stickiness factor than a studied lesson sometimes. But the thing that I really appreciated about the Bible memory and the memorization that is given here was the expression that was put into the words. That is incredibly important. We can read scriptures like, I am the resurrection and the life. How effective is that? You know, it is. It's just as true as it ever was. But when we mean it, we'll say it with that expression there. And so I always appreciate expression. I remember a number of years ago that Christy had had a subject on The school recited Hebrews 12, I believe, or 11. I'm not sure which one it was. But it was a beautiful recitation, and the students did a tremendous job. And then later, Barbie was teaching, and she did, I think, the same chapter, and just as well. It was really good. And so, that really catches my ear on those. And so when I hear a good recitation, and I heard that yesterday. It's really a blessing. But more than that, I appreciated the content of the of the stories that were shared and the stories that were given and acted out. I think drama in itself can be deadening and can be deadening. But if it's in given a positive way, it can be very helpful. And I think what we had yesterday was really, really good. And so I want to commend you teachers for the effort that you put into that. And those messages were more than surface messages. They were really good. Appreciate that. But I do want to say I appreciate our emphasis on reading the Word of God with life. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We have a lot of medical equipment where we can take pictures and see MRIs can see differences in tissue, and they can see the difference between the bone and the marrow in X-ray machines. They can see, they can look for things, but there's nothing that we have that can discern between the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing in technology that can discern that, and yet it says the Word of God is powerful and is living enough and is quick and is real enough that it can do that. So how do we get to that point where we can understand that? And I believe that one of those things is having a relationship with God. I think we could see that in our Sunday school lesson this morning with Ananias. He was a man that God could see into his life, and he saw his thoughts and his intents. And he had a close enough relationship with God that he could say, "God, are you sure that your information is good here?" And God assured him that it was, and he went on with that. So, you know, that's the thing that we want to pursue this morning, and that comes through living through a relationship with Christ, an obedience to Him, a walk with Him that is close, that we can hear His word when He speaks. Luke 5, verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished at all that were with and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." You know, this is a beautiful scripture of Jesus doing what he was doing. He taught the people, and then he also met their needs in a physical way. And it's very interesting how he did this. There he is in a ship, and he tells Simon to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Well, Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. And he knew some about carpentry. I don't know. We don't know how much he knew about fishing as a occupation. But he was the creator of the ships. He was a creator of the sea. He was a creator of the fish. And so he knew all those things intimately. Peter and James and John didn't know that. But when Jesus said, let your nets down for a draught, he probably knew what was going to happen, but the fishermen didn't. And yet because of their obedience, because of their trust in Christ, because of their trust in Jesus, they did, and they were blessed by that. And he was able to meet their need in a very, very very astonishing way. And they were blessed because of their obedience and because of their relationship and because of their walk. And so much so that they, when Jesus called them to be fishers of men, we can only imagine what all went through their minds at that point. I doubt that it was a very accurate picture. There are so many possibilities that he could have meant. I don't know if they knew exactly what he meant, but whatever it was, they were willing to leave all and follow him. And that's what they did. And so their faithfulness in following Christ is a blessing to us today. And the church went forward, the word of God was preached, and we are recipients of that, of their faithfulness in following Christ. This chapter gives a number of different stories, not related to each other necessarily, but each one shows that Jesus was able to meet their needs. And I was so blessed with Chad's comment this morning that when Mary and Martha were at the end of themselves, Jesus brought hope, and he does to us today as well. And that is very, very true, that Jesus is our hope. And as we trust him, as our relationship with him grows, and we believe on him, it's going to be a difference in our life and to those around us.